All right, we got self-mastery expert Princeton Clark with us, founder and CEO of Evolved Mastery. We had the absolute privilege to watch Princeton speak on stage in Tampa, and we connected there, and I was like, dude, this guy is next level. Like, I had dinner with him the night before, and I was like, wow, this guy is special. And then we watched him speak. You come off as like a, you know, cool, calm, and collected, and then when you're on stage, dude, that presence is just unbelievable, man. It was awesome. That energy was great. So thank you so much for taking your time, man.
Thank you guys for having me. I appreciate it.
Absolutely, man. So let's dive right into it. Tell us a little bit more about your story, you know, where you've been, where you're at today, and then we'll go on where you're going.
Oh, man. All right. I'm going to condense this for the sake of time. Want to be here for a good time, not for a long time. But, you know, although I've achieved things that I've achieved in my life, you know, I always tell anybody, you know, starting from where you are, I haven't always been where I've been. You know, as a kid, I'll give a brief synopsis. I was abused as a kid. I was molested as a kid, struggled with deep depression, struggled with alcoholism later in life, got involved with gangs, drugs at the age of 23. After getting married at the age of 21, super depressed, nothing was really changing. I tried to commit suicide. And ultimately, that's what changed my life. And, you know, it was really in that moment that, you know, I really started seeing the power that I had, because following my failed suicide attempt, I realized that I wasn't where I was because of what happened to me. I was where I was because of how I chose to respond to what happened to me. And that one epiphany empowered me. Like, a lot of people are empowered by the externals. I was empowered literally by that one epiphany, that if I had the power to create the mess of a life that I hated, I mean, I've seen people killed right next to me. I've been in shootouts, like I've sold drugs and been in some, you know, sketchy situations, some really sketchy situations. You know, I've seen things that most people only see on TV, but I realized that all of those things, me playing the victim, me not loving myself enough to do what was best for me, me not challenging myself to excel and grow despite what I had experienced, was why I created that reality, you know? And so once I realized that, hey, if I could create the mess of a life that I hated, how much more power did I actually have if I started living like I actually gave a damn about me, you know? And that set me on this course where, you know, now fast forward, you know, over 20 years later, you know, I've been able to impact people all over the world. With every one thing that I thought cursed my life, I realized that with every one thing, there was at least 1 million people out there struggling with just one thing. And if I could overcome, gain wisdom, and embody that wisdom, then I could impact the world. I could leave a mark. And that's what's driven me. You know, that's what's pushed me, you know. And now, you know, I've gotten to work, like I said, with people all over the world. I've spoke on major stages. Some of my early mentors were Jim Rohn, Dr. Wayne Dyer, Les Brown, Zig Ziglar, and of course, Tony Robbins, who I ended up working with for a while, him and Dean Graziosi, you know, but it's all about the journey, man. You know, we don't always start where we're going to end, but we also never truly arrive. I always say that we're always in a state of arrival. And I think the thing that, you know, limited me for years was I was trying to get to that next point, but it was always out of grasp. Like, when I get here, or when I get here, or when I achieve that. And it's like, in the beginning, I was so caught up in the future that I wasn't really present in a lot of ways. And that's where I gained a lot of wisdom. But I could kind of go on and on, but I started broke, busted, disgusted, miserable, and angry with life. And now I'm living with joy, love, peace, and I have an impact that can change the world. And that's what I live my life to do every day.
That's incredible, man. You're hitting my funny bone here, because I hear you on that. The lack of presence and constantly thinking in the future, like, what's next? What's next? If we're constantly living in the future, are we ever even alive? You know, are we, right. If we're never living in the present, what's the point? And that's all about the journey of self-mastery, but let's talk about that. So what is self-mastery? Like, what, you know, we hear it a lot, but tell us about like the principles that embody self-mastery and how folks that may want to just start getting started into something, like, how can we start in that world?
Great question, man. Great question. So, you know, a lot of the times nowadays when you hear people use the word mastery, you know, it's associated with forcing and making something happen and, you know, leveling up and getting to that next level. I don't teach mastery like that, though. First off, we understand self is me, I, you know, not this personified idea of self, but I always say we're all spirits on a journey having different human experiences. So ultimately, the way I teach mastery is not about force. Mastery is about surrender, You know, and often people say, well, I struggle with surrendering. And I say, you don't actually struggle with surrendering. You just surrender to all the wrong things. You say you have this vision or this dream for your life. You say you understand that you have potential to achieve, you know, this new experience, this desired result. But the problem is you surrender to procrastination, you surrender to fear, you surrender to worry, you surrender to doubt, you surrender to playing the imposter in your life, you surrender to being the victim. You're surrendering to all the wrong things. Self-mastery is about surrendering to your potential. It's about surrendering to your power to create and manifest the desired result of the vision that you see for your life. And in order to truly master self, it starts with self-love, understanding that your spirit will never give you a vision for something that the provision is not available for. Your spirit will never give you a vision for something that is impossible for you to achieve. You wouldn't even be able to comprehend or visualize it being possible if it wasn't possible for you. So mastery, self-mastery, is about me surrendering to my divine potential to create the life that has been made known to me through vision. You know, but there's a thing here when it comes to vision and surrender. You know, people say, well, I don't really have a vision. I don't really know, you know, and if you're one of those people out there and you're saying, man, I don't know what I want for my life. I don't have a vision. I always say, go back to things, start simple. Because if you don't know, that means you have a blank canvas in front of you. It's a blank canvas. That means you get to create something. But in order to start creating something to surrender to, think back to when you were younger or the last time, let's keep it simple, even more simple. The last time you were inspired, the last time you heard a speaker or a coach, or you went to an event, or maybe you were watching TV and something lit you up. Think back to what that felt like. Think back to what that was. And ask yourself, why did that speak to me the way that it spoke to me? Was it that I could see myself doing that? Was it that it gave me an idea, you know, to start a new business, you know, or, you know, maybe to take a new step in life, maybe to walk away from the job that you've been in? Start with the little visions. You know, what were the little inspirations, the little inner sparks that you've had in your life that gave you a different view or perspective that you could achieve? And start there. And I always say, start writing down what you believe you could achieve. You know, but for those who say, I have a vision, always say, when people say they have a vision, I challenge it, because I ask, is it a dream or a vision? See, because there's a difference. A dream is something that we can all have, like the possibility of creating great wealth or becoming a millionaire or having a nice house or traveling the world or getting that car that you want. You know, those are great dreams. You know, and it goes on and on. But I always say a dream doesn't become a vision until you can see the steps to achieving it.
Mm.
So as you are contemplating the next move in your life, I always say, don't focus on, you know, we talked about in the beginning, the future, you know, focusing on that. Focus on simply saying, what's the one thing that I can do today to create something new in my life, even if it only makes my life 1% better? Because even if you're only getting 1% better every single day, over the course of 100 days, you're 100% better. And anything above and beyond that is a surplus. You know, and so really just getting a vision, getting clear, and surrendering to the vision, surrendering to the possibility of that change.
Incredible. I love it. I love it. So now that leads you to kind of where you're at today. What's the value proposition that you bring to the marketplace, and what your, you know, the self-mastery programs that you have, you know, who are the ideal avatars and how are you serving them?
All right. So my ideal avatars are people who've gotten to a point in their life, I'd say, you know, mid to even high level entrepreneurs who they've gotten to a point where they've achieved a certain level of success, but they still don't feel fulfilled in their life. They still feel like, man, like something's still missing. They don't truly have joy. Their relationships are kind of on the rocks. If they're in relationships, they struggle with being vulnerable, you know, in their life. And they're just saying, man, I just feel like, you know, there's something else. They've done all the work. They've grinded, they've hustled, they've done all the stuff, but they still feel like there's this next level that they're not getting to. because they did all the work on the surface, but they've never done the work on the inside, you know? And so typically, I mean, I've worked with 6, 7, and even 8 figure earners, you know, which you think they've achieved a certain level of status, or, you know, they've reached a certain tax bracket where they've achieved what a huge part of society has not achieved. The middle class doesn't exist anymore. You know, it's, you're either upper class or you're lower class. You know, and so things are tight right now. But working with those people, I always say, I'm not here for everyone. I'm here for the leaders. And I'm the type of coach, when I work with someone, I would say, you don't come to me to talk about problems. You come to me for the solutions, because I'm going to kick you off the cliff. You're going to form wings and fly, or you're going to crash and burn because you don't love yourself enough to take the steps. You know, and so really just high performance, like really going deep enough within yourself to see how you haven't shown up for you. You've made the money, you've got the stuff, you're still not satisfied because you've been so focused on being what the world said you should be. You've been so focused on achieving a level of success, and still it seems like it's not enough, you know, and now you can't even truly say you're leading yourself, because everything that you've created, you've put your entire identity into the surface things, and now you don't even feel fulfilled. You know, and that's a huge problem, because the thing that we desire the most is freedom and fulfillment. And so I work with people who are seeking that freedom and fulfillment. They've achieved a certain level of success, but they still lack joy. They still lack peace. They still lack the ability to truly love themselves, create healthy relationships, and a healthy lifestyle that truly is in alignment with them. And so they don't feel fulfilled.
You're an example of somebody who has been through hell and back, it sounds like, right? Like the world that you used to be in, you've gained experiences. There was a time where I imagine you didn't have a sense of, you know, necessarily fulfillment or identity that was in alignment with where you're at now, right? So talk about, you know, for the folks that are listening to this podcast that might be maybe involved in things that they wish they didn't feel like they had to be involved in, and they want something better for their life, or they just haven't taken that leap. Like, talk about that transition for you, that transition in identity from, you know, being in a different world that, you know, drugs and alcohol and that kind of game, versus the transition over into entrepreneurship, success, wealth, et cetera. Like, talk about that journey for you and how that impacts your ability to coach your clients today.
Well, first and foremost, I always tell people, like, if you want to find an amazing entrepreneur, go find a great drug dealer. They understand the concepts of how to flip money, you know, how to provide the right product in the right place, and how to sell you on why you need to come to them. Because there's a lot of drug dealers out there, usually in most cases, you know, and so they, even though it's not a good way to do business, they're great at doing business. And because they're taking so many risks, when you give them an opportunity or they see a way that they can do it legally, and that's what happened for me. That's why the transition into entrepreneurship was easier, because once my life changed, I became hungry for knowledge. I literally would go to Barnes & Noble, and because back then social media didn't exist. Facebook, I think it was new, but you could only get on it if you were in college. Like, if you weren't in college, you weren't getting on Facebook. So, you know, when I got started, all I had was books, and I just had this hunger for wisdom. You know, so I'm a big proponent for, you know, gaining education, not being a knowledge hoarder, but actually gaining education. So I would go to Barnes & Noble and I would read, because you often hear people say, you just don't know what you don't know. But I knew what I didn't know. At that point, I knew I wanted to create a life other than the life that I had. But what I didn't know was how to love myself. I knew I didn't know how to build a legit business. I knew that I didn't know if I wanted to lead people. I didn't understand truly how to communicate, how to articulate myself. I knew that I didn't know how to use money the right way, you know? And so I started reading books on finances. I started reading books on leadership. I started reading books on communication. I started reading books on developing business. I started reading books on entrepreneurship. And back then, you really didn't even hear a lot about entrepreneurship, but I knew I didn't want to work for somebody else. So I said, okay, well, there's nothing new under the sun. There's already someone who's done what I want to do. I just need to find the information that's going to help me transform my life that I can start utilizing every single day. But I didn't, at that point, you didn't have social media. So all the pressure wasn't there for me to now take all this information and try to do all this, that, and the other with it. every day that I would read some, and I'm talking sometimes 5 to 15 hours a day. You know, I wasn't selling drugs. I didn't have a job at that point, you know, so I was like, well, my grandmother used to say when I was a kid, she said, you know, if you want to hide something from a man, put it in a book. And so that was something that came back strong to me at that point in my life. So transitioning, I knew I had a passion to work for myself. I knew I didn't want to be a slave to a 9-to-5. I didn't want somebody over me, you know? And so I said, okay, well, if I want to do what very few people are actually doing, you know, in today's society, I have to go get information from places and from people who have done it. And I'm not listening to everybody. And like I said, social media didn't exist. There was no Instagram. Right now, there's so much noise and people are listening to so much noise. And I say, look, there will never be anything greater than sitting down with a good book where you just focus your intention on that one topic, that one subject. Stop letting all this information for all these different aspects of how you can do business into your head, because you become discombobulated. Find one thing that you want to build in your business and you want to get better at. Find a really good book that's highly recommended. Sit down with that book and don't just read it, because right now I know the attention span is very low. But what I say is, get the Audible and get the book. Read and listen to the book, because now you're retaining it multiple ways. You know, so read and listen to the book. Be present with the book, with the information. And as you're going through it, highlight specific things. If you can only read for 15 minutes, 30 minutes, read for 15 minutes, 30 minutes, but highlight the things that really speak to you. Put the book down after that 15 to 30 minutes. Walk away, go breathe, have a coffee, get a bite to eat, and then come back. Don't get online, because you're going to frazzle yourself. You're going to take yourself out of that state. You're letting all the world into your head. Before you do anything like that or jump into the next thing, go back to the book and look at the top 3 to 5 things that you highlighted and ask yourself, how does this apply to me, or how can it apply to my life and the actions I need to take right now?
Yeah.
And simply so write it
out. I'm sorry.
Oh, you're good.
No, please continue.
No, I was just saying, and simply write it out. You know, really get present with the information, because, you know, nowadays people have become knowledge hoarders. You know, they're going from event to event, listening to talk after talk after talk, you know, looking at video after video after video. And that's why you have ADD. ADD is not actually an attention deficit disorder. It is a disorder of being overstimulated. And so it's hard to focus, you know? And so if we start taking away all the things that we're giving our attention to, it makes it a lot easier to focus. So as an entrepreneur, when I stepped into that space, again, I didn't have all the noise, and I was intentional about the type of information that I got based on what I knew I didn't know. And so if you are an entrepreneur, if you're looking to scale and grow, be honest with yourself on what you don't know. And daily, like, find books that will facilitate growth in the areas where you lack information. You know, read it and listen to it, and then highlight and then apply action on the things that apply to you and the way that it's going to help you.
And I would argue nowadays it's almost harder to get started given the plethora of information that's available, right? Because now we have this overstimulation of like, oh, I should do this. And then a couple months later, the next hot topic's out, and we lose this sense of security on what actually works. And so I want to go back to when you made your transformation and you decided to make a change and say, I'm going to start reading books. I'm going to start getting into personal development, get into entrepreneurship. That was probably not a quote unquote sexy thing to do from the background that you came from, right?
No,
and especially as a man, where it's still tough for men to talk about personal development and healing, but definitely back in the day, I'm not calling you old, but even, you know, 10 plus years ago, you know, it's not a popular thing to talk about. So talk to us a little bit more about like the negativity you face and the adversity you face just from your environment that was like maybe potentially holding you down from even making that decision.
Another great question. Well, I'll say in the beginning, of course, transitioning out of gangs and that type of lifestyle. But then I grew up in a town too, where most people who were born there die there. And so when my life changed, I became an anomaly, you know, in my environment. I remember, you know, when I first started talking to my guys, the dudes that I was close to, and saying, you know, I'm changing my life, you know, I'm getting ready to go for, you know, my dreams, my passion. you know, of course, I didn't articulate it the way that I articulate it now, because back then every other word out of my mouth was a curse word. But they were just like, man, we'll see you back out here, bro. You'll be right back out here drinking with us, getting high with us in 6 months. I guarantee you this ain't gonna last. It's not you, Princeton. You know, and so people, I always say everybody has an idea of who you are. But, you know, Princeton is just an idea. And I realized this early. Princeton is just an idea. My mom has an idea of Princeton, you know, friends, everybody that I meet, based on how I've lived up to that point, they have the framework or the idea for who they perceive me to be. But what I realized at that point of my life is the only reason they could only perceive me to be what I had been is because I had never given them something new to see. And I knew that as I started giving them something new to see, they weren't truly going to see it until I became the essence of what I was saying. And I think what happens with a lot of people when they're transitioning, they want everybody to see how they're trying. They want everybody to see the results that they're going to get or the vision or the dream, but they weren't given your vision. They weren't given your dream. So they can't see it, and they're not going to see it until you become it. And so that really drove me. Like, for an entire year after I decided to change my life, I pretty much isolated myself. Besides my wife and my kids and my close family, I didn't really go very many places. Like, it was home or it was Barnes and Noble. And this is where I tell people, you have to protect your space. If you want to truly master your life, if you're the number one, if you're the smartest person in your circle, you got to get a new circle. You can't keep staying around the same people. I know you want your family to celebrate you. Oh, you're changing your life. You want people to be proud of you, but that's just you seeking validation. At this point, you got to start validating yourself and understanding that you were given a vision to achieve something possible for you. And this could change the trajectory of your family. It could change the trajectory of your life. And the world is never going to see it until you become it. And so for me, I knew that. It was hard. Don't get me wrong. It was very hard, because I always had people telling me I was crazy or this isn't going to work, especially family. Like, my dad was one of those people, traditional, get a job, go to work, you know, get a 401k, blah, 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 blah. You know, and nowadays, you know, my dad's like, you know what? I'm so proud of you, because I never would have had the faith to do what you've done. I look at what you do and it inspires me. You've written books. You have a podcast that reaches people all over the world. You're doing all of these things. You've worked with some of the best in the industry. Like, all the things that you said you were going to do, you've done it. And I never would have had the faith to step out like that. And so you have to realize that as you're taking these steps, the people that challenge you the most are nothing more than mirrors to you. And the people that are watching, that are challenging you, you know, they're the ones that are paying attention. And so not only does changing your life impact you, it impacts people watching you. It impacts them to start seeing things in a new way. Now, whether or not they take action on it is on them, you know, but the negativity was definitely there. But I used it as a motivator, because I understood that they didn't know what they didn't know. They couldn't see what they couldn't see. And, you know, it felt lonely a lot of the time, but I loved myself enough to keep going, because at the end of the day, if everybody around me died or left, I would still have to choose to live. I would still have to choose to create the life that I wanted, you know, and that's pretty much what drove me. You know, it's like the saying goes, choose your hard. You know, you can choose to stay where you are, and that's going to be hard. Or you can choose to become the best version of yourself that you envision as possible. And that hard is going to be worth celebrating, you know? And so I'm going to go to the gym of my life every day. I'm going to lift the weights and I'm going to get stronger. It's going to be hard. The blood, sweat, and tears, it's going to be hard, but what I become through the journey is going to be worth it.
I love that. Choose your hard, because the other alternative to that is, you know, obesity, you know, heart problems, like a life of a death by a thousand paper cuts, essentially, over time, right? And no, it makes a ton of sense. You kind of answered the question I was going to ask next, which was, how did you navigate those relationships as you were becoming? Because a lot of times, Antonio and I are dealing with this a lot over the last 4 years, where you're on that entrepreneurial journey, you're experiencing growth, but you're outgrowing the people around you. You're outgrowing some of your friends and even your family that love and care about you the most. They just don't have the perspective or the ability to really connect with what you have going on. So you've already kind of answered that piece to my question, which was, how did you go about navigating, you know, starting to say no to more things that you used to say yes to, and starting to align yourself with the right rooms and getting around the right people to help you keep moving forward? So we appreciate that. What is the vision currently, right? Because, you know, one of our one of our old mentors used to always say, you know, like the folks at your level, right? You've had a lot of success, and where a lot of people can fall short is they almost get seduced by that success, right? They have some success. Mm-hmm. They feel like they almost arrived somewhere and realize there's nothing there, right? It's like, I thought if I got this amount of money in my checking account, I'd feel great, and they don't feel any better, right? So I guess for yourself, you know, what keeps you motivated? What's the vision for yourself over time? And, you know, what's the future hold for, mm-hmm. for Princeton Clark?
Oh, man, you have no idea how much of an amazing question that is, because I'm actually in a huge transition right now, because I actually just went through this phase of exactly what you're saying. You know, I work to get to a certain point, and I posted something about this on my Facebook the other day. I've worked to get to this point, but in the last couple of months or so, I just haven't really, I hadn't been feeling like that fulfillment anymore. And I was like, what is this feeling? Like, why am I feeling this way when I'm doing everything that I love to do? And I realized that I had become so attached to the identity of who I had become in my industry. And, you know, coming from the background that I came from, where, you know, I wasn't celebrated, you know, I was abused, and I finally created a life where I was loved, where people actually heard me, you know, I got comfortable, you know, it got really comfortable for me. And it's like getting on stage, teaching now, like, it's like breathing. You know, it's not second nature, it's first nature. It's just what I am. You know, it doesn't matter who you put me around, what stage you put me on, it's what I am. It's just going to come out. And, you know, you would think, man, like, you're living, like, that's the best. And it's like, no, like, because I've realized that even being in the industry, it changed me a little bit, because when I got started, it wasn't about money. You know, it wasn't about money. I didn't care. It wasn't about the numbers. It wasn't about how many clients I could get and how much I could scale my company, this, that, and the other. I genuinely love people. I genuinely care about seeing people win and watching them scale their life to that next level. And, you know, I remember one of my mentors saying years ago, he said, you can't put a price on self-mastery, because self-mastery is ultimately spiritual development. And because we're all spirits on a journey having a different human experience, you ultimately lead people back to themselves. Now, in a business, you do have overhead. You do have, you know, the responsibilities of building that business so that you can have more reach, you know, but create a service that you can offer people that will help them, not just in their spiritual life, because ultimately that's what I say. You know, I say self-mastery expert, but ultimately I'm a spiritual teacher. You know, it's all about coming back to self, becoming highly aware and highly tuned in to what you are beyond the idea of who you think you are, because spirituality and personality are two different things. And so what I'm leaning into now is really getting back to that root, you know, and, you know, I've relaunched my branding company, you know, where I offer services to people to help them build their brand, photography, videography, all that. So those were my creative passions. And I realized I put them down for a really long time, and it became all about helping everybody else and getting new clients and this, that, and the other. And in all honesty, I was happy when I was helping people, but then when I was by myself, like I wasn't truly happy. And even though happiness is an emotion and it's based on thought, I realized that it went deeper than that. Not only was I not happy, I didn't have joy. Because I can have joy even if I'm not happy, because you're going to have moments where you have to grow and expand and it's not going to feel good. You know, happiness comes and goes. But can I say I have joy? Because joy is a state of being. It's a state of awareness. And so I realized, okay, if I don't have joy right now, what is wrong? Like, why do I feel out of alignment with what I'm doing? You know, and I realized I was just doing it because it had become first nature. Nothing in my life was really challenging me anymore. And if nothing was challenging me, was I really embodying my brand of evolved mastery, understanding that change is the only constant? If change is the only constant, and change is going to happen with or without you, and I'm now at a stage where life is calling me to evolve again, the only reason I'm feeling the way that I'm feeling is because something about me isn't changing. And so through self-mastery, I'm very aware when that's happening. And so now I'm at the stage where, I mean, were you saying something? Oh, okay. I'm very aware of when evolution is not happening personally. And this is kind of brought me to this transition where it's like, I really just want to focus on my branding company and building a team where I can help other people build their brand. And that's going to be my money machine, so to speak. where I can service people, and that's called imprint branding. So we're in the process of launching all that stuff now, because I did that for 20 plus years because that's how I supported myself as I built my coaching and speaking career. You know, for years, I didn't even charge for coaching, you know, not because I couldn't, but because of the background that I came from. I never wanted it to be about money. You know, I would always say, when I make money, I want money. I want to have money. I don't want money to have me. You know, and so developing those other skills in the digital space, I see that now I'm at a pinnacle point where I can bring all those skills back and I can start utilizing those skills to help other people expedite their growth, help them get their vision out to the world a lot faster. And really just creating strong core stories, you know, brand stories, brand identity, and helping them get their brand message out there with clean content, you know, that they love, teaching them how to communicate, how to speak, how to reach their ideal client. And so essentially teaching them how to do what I've done, you know, and so it's now paying it forward. How can I show them how to do this? So that's the next level. The self-mastery stuff is still there, you know, but I say now I want to do it because I get to, not because I have to. You know, and so now every day it's like I'm leaning more into writing books, creating more content that's going to help other people master their life, serving them with the things that will take them back to the root so that they can manifest things that they truly desire and take their business, their relationships, and all of those things to the next level.
Dude, I love it, man. And, you know, just to summarize everything you just said there, you'd be doing the world a disservice by just while incredibly successful and incredibly good at what you've been doing, you're not in the zone of creative genius that you want to be in, that you feel the most fulfilled by, that you're able to maximize your impact, that God's calling you to do. And by pivoting to that, you're actually able to maximize your impact. So I really love everything you just said there, man. How can our listeners follow you? How can they connect with you? How can we support? And, you know, let's go from there.
Awesome. You can find me on Instagram. We're all social media, really. TikTok, Instagram, Twitter, or X, as they call it now, at Princeton Clark. If you go to my Instagram, you can find my link tree. All of my stuff is in my link tree on Instagram. All my books, I have an inspirational audio. So if you're out there and you're like, man, if I could listen to this guy every day, I literally just talk over music. And the audio is on Apple Music, it's on Spotify, and it's called Time to Rise, Inspiration for Living. You know, that's there. My podcast, Evolved Mastery, is also out there. So you can actually go to evolvedmasterypodcast.com. But again, if you just go to my link tree, literally everything, my books, the audios, my podcasts, new things that are going to be coming up, all of that is on my link tree in Instagram.
Awesome. Well, Princeton, you always bring the energy, man. It's always a pleasure connecting with you. And thank you so much for taking the time, man.
Hey, thank you guys for having me. I appreciate you.